the message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel.
Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you, my dear friends. This is Paul Ver, your radio pastor, continuing our study today of that portion of the Word of God known as the Ten Commandments. Greek scholars know it as the Decalogue, while the students of Hebrew know it as the Ten Words. In these studies, we are dealing with it as the moral law of God, in which God expresses His perfect will as to how men should both relate to Him and to themselves. Today I want to direct your attention to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, where it is written, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." A story tells of a man who purchased a statue of Jesus Christ at an auction sale. Taking it home, he placed it in a prominent position on his desk. A few days later, his little girl observed her mother changing its location from the den to the living room. She exclaimed, "Where are you going to put God?" This first commandment leaves no doubt as to where God expects us to put Him. He demands first place. He will not play second fiddle to anyone or anything. When God redeemed Israel from Egypt, they were an idolatrous people. Long after they had entered the Promised Land, Joshua had to challenge the people to put away their gods. In the book of Joshua, chapter 24 and verse 14, we read, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The ancient people of Israel really hadn't grasped the significance and full meaning of this command, and they wouldn't until long after the Babylonian captivity, some 900 years later. According to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, God is not claiming to be superior to all other gods. He is claiming to be the only God. He is not a Zeus ruling over a pantheon of lesser gods, but the one and only God. There are no other gods except in the sin-darkened minds and hearts of men. This presentation of God as unique reveals the superiority of these laws over every other code of conduct, such as the Code of Hammurabi. While other laws reach out horizontally and cover man's conduct with other men, with its civil laws, and governing such things as slavery, wages, taxation, the sale of property, etc., they neglect the all-important, primary, vertical relationship of man with God. Again, please notice that God presents Himself as an eternal being. In the King James Version of the Scriptures, you may notice that in verse 2, the name Lord is written in capital letters. This signifies that the Hebrew word from which it is translated is the Hebrew word Yahweh. In English, we translate it as Jehovah. Literally, the Hebrew word Yahweh means I am. It has reference to the eternal nature of God. He is a being dependent on no one or anything for His existence. In another place, He describes Himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The present tense of the words indicate that here is a God who hadn't changed in some 600 or more years. Exodus chapter 20 also presents Him as a God of omnipotence, or all power. This is seen in the use of the word Elohim and translated God. It means the mighty God. Israel had witnessed the power of Jehovah during the closing days of their slavery in Egypt. They saw him control the natural elements of light and darkness, wind and rain. They observed him controlling nature as locusts, flies, and frogs are made to do his bidding. They also witnessed him in control of life and death, as the firstborn of every family, not protected by the blood smeared on doorposts and lintels, died. They also saw evidence of his mighty power, as with a great wind he made the waters of the Red Sea part, allowing the beleaguered Israelites to cross on dry land. The Egyptians, trying to take advantage of the same miracle of divine grace, were destroyed when the waters returned and covered them. There is no record of any other so-called god acting in like manner for those who worship them. This passage also reveals Jehovah to be a God who communicates his perfect will for those who would worship him and be his people. For we read, "And God spake all these words." Here is a God interested in human affairs. He is not the God of the theist who believes God may have created the universe, but then took his hand off to allow it to develop on its own. Nor is he the God of the pantheist, who sees the presence of God spread throughout all nature and incarnate in trees, flowers, mountain valleys and fields. He is clearly not the one who is popularly spoken of as Mother Earth. Verse 2 also describes him as a God of salvation who redeemed the children of Israel. "I brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the hand of house of bondage." In Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 to 8, we read, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites." The heart of concern that moved Jehovah to redeem Israel from Egyptian slavery also moved him to send Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, his beloved Son, to be our Savior and redeem us to himself through his death and resurrection. The first commandment enunciated in verse 3, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," gives us some guidelines as to how we should worship God. First of all, we see that it is to be a personal worship. This is brought out in the use of the singular "thou." While these moral directives were for the nation of Israel as a whole, they were to be applied and observed individually. Secondly, we see the emphasis on the necessity of worship. "Thou shalt have," the commandment says. Man, the world over, constantly proves himself to be a worshiping being. The great British preacher of a number of years ago, G. Campbell Morgan, has written, quote, "There is no man who has not, somewhere in his heart, in his life, in the essentials of his being, a shrine in which is a deity whom he worships. It is impossible for a man to live without having an object of worship, as it is for a bird to fly if it is taken out of the air," unquote. Here, too, is something of the strictness in the worship of Jehovah. No other gods are to have a place in the minds and hearts and lives of men. A number of years ago, the United Nations published a pamphlet in which the meditation room and a large stone was described. Of that place and stone, the pamphlet said, quote, "We may see it as an altar, empty, not because there is no God, but because it is dedicated to the God whom man worships under many names and in many forms. This syncretistic idea is in complete opposition to the teaching of this verse of the first commandment. Our text also encourages us to guard against letting anyone or anything usurp the place of sovereignty of the Lord God in our lives. Now, unfortunately, the nature of idolatry is such that one doesn't have to have an idol of wood and stone to be guilty of it. Multitudes who would never give a thought to bowing down before an idol readily give their allegiance to other gods that are just as lifeless and empty. Dr. Merrill C. Tenney, late of Wheaton College, once wrote, quote, "Prestige, possessions, power, and pleasures are the false gods of modern man. They represent a tragic devotion to material gain rather than to spiritual, good to transient gratification rather than to eternal values. They are as futile and unsatisfying to the spirit as an idol of wood or of stone." Unquote. How easy it is to crowd God out of one's life and to allow some secondary interest to take his place. In the New Testament, or New Covenant Scriptures, worshippers are encouraged not only to worship God as their object of faith, but to also place Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, as the object of their faith. Comforting his disciples whom he had told of his approaching death and resurrection, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Inherent in the act of worship is the matter of faith. There is no worship without faith. To worship God is to trust him, to have faith in him. In John 14 and verse 1, Jesus offers himself as an object of faith, of worship, if you please. "Ye believe in God, believe also in me," he said. My dear observant Jewish listener, Yeshua had you in mind when he spoke these words. Your faithful observance of the rites and ceremonies of Judaism is to be commended, but it will ultimately and eternally damn your soul, for Scripture declares, quote, "By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified." I urge you today to turn by faith to him who alone can save you and transform your life for time and eternity, Yeshua HaMashiach. Shalom. And may the true peace of God be your portion. Thank you for listening today. We invite you to write for a free written copy of today's message. Cassette tapes and CDs are also available. We also have available a Bible correspondence course, a special offer which is available for every Jewish person who requests it, is our Old Testament prophecy edition of the New Testament. We are happy to also mail without charge our 16-page magazine Message to Israel with studies and brief news items of Jewish interest from around the world. Our address is Message to Israel, Post Office Box 100052, Brooklyn, New York. The zip code is 11210. Our Canadian friends can write to Message to Israel, Canada, Upper Canada Postal Station, Post Office Box 21516, Newmarket, Ontario, L3Y8J1. When you write, please be sure to include the call letters of this station. And now, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.